The Resolutions from the Mount sermon series continues as Jesus invites us to take our worries to him. Matthew 6:25-34. Page 6 of the Red Pew Bible on the screen or in your bulletin. Jesus taught, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's troubles is enough for today." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, grace and peace be to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Everyone but Evan, you might as well preach. I mean, you lit the candles and you took the cards and you read the... I think we have a preacher in the making, don't we? Thank you, sir. Thank you for serving Jesus, loving God by loving others. Yeah. Tonight, the title of our message is The Silent Killer and the Vocal Deliverer. How many of you have ever heard of that phrase, a silent killer? Silent killer is an expression for a condition that progresses to a very advanced stage before it's actually made known what it is. There are a number of identified silent killers. Here's just a few of them. Carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide is known as a silent killer because, of course, it's colorless, odorless, tasteless, and non-irritating. Some people even have carbon monoxide alarms in their house, in their deer cabins, maybe even in their workshops. Another one is high blood pressure. That, too, can be a silent killer because if it goes undetected, a person could stroke out. Diabetes is often known as the silent killer because the signs of diabetes are not always well known, not always well visible. People aren't fully aware of what's going on, and it can create a debilitating type of situation. Cancers of all kinds, I'm just going to list two, ovarian cancer and pancreatic cancer, known as silent killers. Why? Well, again, because there are basically no symptoms until the disease has progressed to a point to an advanced state. Heart disease, well, that one too is known as a silent killer. Frequently because you could have a heart condition or a heart issue and all of a sudden, you're gone. You don't know it until the big event. There's a whole list, a long list of what are known as silent killers. And the reason that I mentioned the five or six that I did to you is not for you to worry about them, okay? But we're actually adding them to the list of silent killers on the major silent killer list. Because you know how it goes. Worry, it's kind of like dominoes, the fall of dominoes. Worry can lean right into anxiety, anxiety into stress, stress into hypertension, hypertension into diabetes, and of course, possibly a stroke. So, who here does any worrying? Anybody here? Challenge, yeah, you do plenty of that. Well, I do too. But tonight we're talking about what we do with that worry. What happens when we have that pit in our stomach and it keeps us up at night? What goes on when we ourselves are so worried that we can't focus upon our work or our relationships? I'd like for you to help me name some of the demons in our lives, if you would. What are some of the things that we worry about? Say them out loud. Rain, yeah, there we go. What? Money, yes, money, raining money. What else? May God rain money on us, right? Yeah. Drugs. Work, we worry about work, yeah. Health, family, children. Oh, not saying that from the pulpit. Jesus was known to be quite the liberal. Yeah, what else? Well, there's a whole list. Maybe some are in our hearts we don't want to say. Of course, health insurance, the bills, not having enough money at the end of the month. Pregnancy, our mortgage, passing the test for our kids, war on a global scale, our government. Maybe even some of us worry about salvation. All to say we have a lot of things to worry about, don't we? Maybe too many, I'd say. There are plenty on our plate that our plate tends to overflow. And when it overflows, we find ourselves in unhealthy situations, physically, maybe emotionally, and also spiritually. You see, spiritually, worry is like an erosion. It can ever so slowly eat at us and our relationship with God, that we don't turn to God with our problems. We don't trust God with our problems. It erodes to some degree our faith. Worry is also like termites, constantly nibbling away at the foundation of our faith, making us ever more so weaker and vulnerable to things like doubt or fear, or temptation, which Satan himself would love for us to fall into. Worry has a way of killing the joy, killing the joy that God intends for our hearts and our lives to celebrate. As I was looking up the word worry, part of the etymology includes the following words: warp, weird, worm, wrangle, wrath, wrench, wrestle, wriggle, ring, wrinkle, writhe, and wrong. Certainly a very strong bent to a lot of negative things. And it's this negative baggage that weighs upon our shoulders. It can bounce around in our heads. It takes up residence in our hearts. And it makes camp even in our stomachs. And worst of all, it ends up causing conflict in our souls. Worry is actually a sin. It's a sin when we allow it to consume us to the degree that we don't focus upon God and others around us, but we are locked and loaded towards what is giving us stress and worry. You know, the scripture says that if God cares for the birds of the air, and if he cares for the lilies of the field, then he too will care for those of us who tend to worry. So what do we do? How do we deal with spiritual worry? Well, remember that definition, the definition I read at the very beginning? It said this: worry is what happens to people when they overfocus, when they dwell unduly on problems and troubles. And the key word in that whole phrase is dwell. You know, we're going to have our worries. We're going to have things come up in our life that we can't just brush off the table. But it's when we dwell there on that particular issue or worry where spiritually it does us some harm. So what do we do if we can't continue to hold on to it, if we have to let it go? Well, I was thinking about when I was a kid, and we used to play this game called Hot Potato. Anybody ever play Hot Potato? Of course, there's some calm versions of that where you get some chairs and there's just one chair less of the number of people, and you walk around in the circle and the music goes, and when the music stops, everyone sits, and well, if you're, you know, the last one standing, then, you know, you're the one who is out. And the same way it's played with a ping pong ball or a tennis ball, and you pass it around the circle as long as the music's going, and when it stops, well, whoever has the hot potato, well, is out of the game. Well, when I was a kid, there was a couple of times when we weren't so smart. We played hot potatoes with real hot potatoes. And so I remember us camping at times, and we'd be by the campfire. You know, we'd cook the hunter's stew. We'd put it in tin foil and put it in the coals, we take the potatoes too and fold them up into tin foil. And after they've been in there for about 45 minutes or an hour, we take that old shovel and we dig it out and throw it up on the side of the fire, bang it around a little bit, get some of the ashes, get some of the coals out of it, and then we'd do that stupid thing. We'd pick it up and we'd toss it to the next person, who tossed it to the next, who tossed it to the next, who tossed it to the next. And the hot potato, if you held on to it too long, did what? It burned. It burned. You know, I think when we consider our worry, our worries come in our lives and they deal many times with significant issues, health and people, finances and struggles. And we can't just dismiss these issues. We have to touch them. We have to pray over them. We have to encounter them. But we don't have to hold them too long. You see, we too can get burned by our worries. Our worries are something that would come into our lives and would cause us to not focus upon the things that God would have us focus upon, but to, again, dwell, to hold on to those things so tightly that they often harm us. So what do we do? What do we do? We go there, but we don't stay there. And that is where God comes into the picture. Our Heavenly Father knows all too well the things that you and I are personally worried about, the things that we do have to deal with, not just to flippantly pass it to the side, but things we must touch, we must put on our hands and in our hearts. And yet at the same time, God would have us give them over to Him, the hot potatoes to Him in the next line, instead of us holding on to those. I love this sign that was discovered in front of a Methodist church. It wasn't our Methodist church, but it was a Methodist church. It reads, "Don't let worries kill you. Let the church help." You read that how I read that. You know, when I think about bringing our worries to the church, we're actually thinking about bringing our worries to yet this other sign that I appreciate a whole lot more. Bring our worries to God, to pray and let God do the worrying. You see, He invites us. He invites us to give over to Him the things that would worry us and bother us, to let go and to let God, if you will. And by faith, we relinquish holding on to our worry by holding on to the one who profoundly took on the worry of our sin on the cross. Listen to Isaiah 53. He writes, "Jesus, He was oppressed, He was afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth, He was silent. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so He did not open His mouth." Our shepherd was silent. Silent as our sin, not just their sin back then, but our sin today, put Him on the cross and killed Him. And yet He was very vocal in bringing hope and healing and strength and resurrection to our souls. As He rose from the dead, He conquered sin by giving us forgiveness. He conquered worry by giving us the Holy Spirit. And He even conquered death by giving us eternal life. For all who will bring their sins, their burdens, their guilts, and their worries unto God. You know, I think life can often feel like the little boy. The little boy who was sailing his toy at the lake. Well, the little toy got out away from him a ways, and he couldn't get out there far enough in the deep water. The wind and the current started to take it farther from him as well as the shore. This little boy became very, very worried. He had made this toy boat. Along came a little girl who saw the boy in his distress. And she began leaning over and picking up shells and anything she could find and throwing them at the boat. The little boy said, "Hey, you're going to destroy my boat. What are you doing?" The young lady answered, "I'm not throwing rocks at your boat. I'm throwing them over your boat so that the waves might push your boat closer to you, closer to the shore. Trust me, young man. I know what I'm doing." It is as we face the waves and the winds of worry, and we even feel like life is chunking rocks at us, that we turn to God and give him our worries instead of us focusing upon those issues. It's about trusting him with the things that we can't control. That's why Paul says in Philippians 4, have no anxiety about anything, but in prayer with asking, let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your heart and mind in faith with Christ Jesus. Possibly you're facing a worry right now, or maybe you're facing a whole bucket of worries. Well, don't feel alone. Many of us do. And that's why God tonight talks to us about worry. And tonight we have a box before us. It's called the Worry Wart Box. For you, as you come to Holy Communion tonight, to give that worry over to God, to take it out of your heart, out of your soul, out of your mind, and to at least begin leaning in his way and not you holding on to it so tightly. And there's an exchange involved as well. As you bring that worry and put it in the box, you're invited to pick up a little rock there. A little rock symbolic of the one that the little girl was throwing at the boat, but over the boat to bring it in. And when you have those worries, maybe that rock is in your pocket or your purse, maybe it's on the kitchen table or on your dresser, to remind you that he is the one who rolled away the stone. And if he's the one who rolled away the stone, he's the one who can roll away your worries. That he intends for us to be warriors of faith, not worriers. For Jesus said himself, come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Amen.